This episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by U-Turn Audio. Brilliant sound starting at $199. Everyone deserves a remarkable listening experience, and you'll get it with U-Turn Audio. Check them out at uturnaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Gina Schock, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis. And please welcome to the stage, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and author of Made in Hollywood, All Access with the Go-Go's, this badass drummer, Gina Schock.
Woo! Oh, 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 oh. Keep it down, okay? Don't get too crazy, guys. I mean, get too excited here.
Gina, let me ask you, in the early days of the Go-Go's, when you would go to a club, what's the fewest people the band performed for?
Jesus, you know, when I think back, it was always crowded because it was a scene in LA. It was a punk scene, and everybody knew each other, so we would all go to each other's shows and support each other. So yeah. It was never not crowded. It was always, and we were playing in little clubs, and it was always crowded because it was all our friends. And then occasionally a couple strays would come in that were actually, oh, what the hell is this all about? And we get a couple converts, but.
And then another draw was that it's, you know, forgive the term, chicks, but it's a chick. It was a bunch of chicks on stage, which was rare.
Yeah, I think people were interested in what that was all about because it was not a lot of bands that were all-girl bands at the time that were successful, that wrote their own material and played their own instruments, nobody behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah. You weren't pantomiming out there.
No, it was a real deal. So, yeah, it was a little different.
What age did you get your first drum kit?
13.
And before that, were you just setting up, like, boxes and pans and just beating on stuff?
No. Before that, I had a bass and then a guitar. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to play. So I didn't know if I wanted to play drums, really. I just wanted to play something. I didn't know what it was. And then I figured it out, you know, everything. I mean, guitar, bass, I had to, you know, take lessons, and I didn't have the patience for that, so I thought I'd try drums. And that was just easy for me to play, so I kept playing drums. I just put headphones on, play with my favorite records, and my body just made the moves. It made sense to me.
Would you find pieces of music that you thought this is going to be difficult, but I'm gonna power through and I'm gonna learn this?
You know what? I would just play something over and over until I got it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I would just come home from school every day, and put my headphones on. I had my drums set up in the bedroom, and I would just play with my favorite records until I learned whatever. I mean, and it was, of course, music that I loved. So, you know how, when you're a kid, or even now, you know, if I hear a song, I play it to death. And
yeah, over and over.
I get
like
in the
a
car
mental
and play
patient.
It over and over. And so I would do that with drums until I learned all the parts.
Now, you left out a part. You come home from school, and then you said you would get on the drums, but you do your homework first.
Oh, yeah, I had to do that.
And your chores.
Yes, that was, but no, the chores things was the weekend. That was cleaning house.
Okay.
And that sort of thing, so that I could get my allowance to go and buy, you know, tickets to every show that came to the Baltimore Civic Center, or magazines, you know, Cream, Rolling Stone, anything that was out there. And then all my records, to buy records.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was happy to get my $20 a week.
My parents hated when I bought records.
Why?
They hated it. I had a job.
Something to do.
I know. I worked at McDonald's. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't doing drugs. Mm-hmm. My outlet was I loved buying albums. So I used to have to go buy albums, leave them at the front door of our house, because no one came through the front door. We all came through the back door. Then when I would go upstairs, I would open the front door and bring the album in and take it upstairs. I had to sneak albums in.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, right?
Well, you know what? I'm super grateful, because my parents were just, they loved music.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always playing music in our house, and they loved big band music, which I loved and still love to this day. And so they were always, music's always one. They were always dancing, singing, and it was a happy place to grow up in. And so I, of course, you know, started listening to had the radio, I had a little transistor radio, and I would carry that everywhere with me. And then at night, you know, when I went to bed, I had to, of course, turn it off, but I'd have one of those little earpiece. I'd stick it in my ear and listen till I fell asleep, you know. But no, I was encouraged to participate in music in whatever way suited me, whatever I felt appealed to me.
If someone brought a transistor radio right now with one of those little earpieces and we turned it on, I bet it sounds horrible.
It would be nice. It'd be a nice little change. You know what? I do have a couple of those radios. Actually,
you do?
Because I save everything. I just save everything.
You're a hoarder.
I'm not really a hoarder because I'm a Virgo. Everything is in its place and it's perfect. I'm not a hoarder. But all these things had a place in my life in me growing up. And I like to pull them out and look at them and remember everything. You know, like I have every laminate pass from every Go-Go show.
Well, of course, you got to keep that stuff.
And for every show that I go to, you know, when I go see other bands and if I get a laminate or whatever, I saved all that. I have every single tour book from every show
wow.
the Go-Go's did.
Yeah.
Starting like in 79 when we do, you know, San Francisco or New York or something, and it was all, I have all, everything.
And these just aren't in a box in the garage. You have them like...
I found all that, well, because I did my book, and so I pulled everything out, and it was like, I used all of the stuff that I've saved, and also I have kept daily planners since 1978. I have every year I have a daily planner, and I wrote in them. It's not really a diary or anything, but I wrote down, you know, things that were going on, life and death and everything in between or in those pages. so I use those to remember dates and places when I was trying to write this book.
Gotcha. Now, today, will your entry be talk to 8 people in a church hall?
Excuse me? What did you say, talk to 8 people in a church hall?
I said, today, will your entry be talk to 8 people in
Hell
a church
yes.
hall?
Yes. Eight fabulous people. Yeah.
That I like.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the book real quick. Made in Hollywood, All Access with the Go-Go's. Do you have these with you on premises here for people to buy?
I'm so fucking pissed off right now, you guys. The publisher.
At me?
No, I'm
okay.
Just very angry.
All right.
With the publisher, with Hachette, because I've had nothing but problems with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were supposed to send the books, and they're not here. So we've been on the phone with them, like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, what the fuck?
You know what I mean? Like, I'm out here. I, you know what? I do it no matter what because I love this book and I'm super proud of it.
You should be.
It's my life and it's my photographs and it's my story. And, you know, and so I always want to talk about this book. And they're lucky they fucking have me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like one person that I'll be talking about this book when I'm in the hospital bed half dead, you know? I mean, it's just so much in there. And it's good, and it's fun, and it's interesting. And
you're always doing book events, and then sometimes you and Kathy go out and do events
together.
Well,
Kathy and I are going to do something in Dallas or Houston next weekend, I think.
Now, since the books aren't here, you worried they're not going to get to Dallas or Houston. No, how do you stay on top of this?
You know what? I think we're going to... This is pretty fucked up. But instead of getting this from Hachette, from our publisher, I think we're going to just get it from Amazon. And it'll be there, you know?
So you're going to buy your own book and take them and then resell them.
Yep.
Yeah, with no shipping.
With no shipping, right. Yeah. Those assholes want to charge us for shipping. They're like, fuck you.
Why aren't they just sending it?
I don't know, because they're really...
Can we get someone on the phone right now?
No, believe me, my agent is... it's a mess.
Well, I feel bad, because this is the place where... This is the place where
every
you want these
books.
Every time
I have my books with me, too, they always sell out.
I brought this one from Los Angeles with me, because I want you to sign it.
I'd be happy to.
Great.
I love this book.
It's great. Let me ask you, was Kathy okay with this photo being on the cover? She does not look her best on this photo.
She looks like a fucking rock star to me. I don't know about you. I don't know what a rock star, this looks like a rock star to me.
But look how cute, you look how cute you look. You look like all cute and then.
Hey, well, that's the band on that day.
Okay, all right.
An hour later, I could have a bottle hanging out of my mouth and a cigarette hanging off the other side of my mouth. So, you know.
Like this.
I hope I still look like
you
that.
Really
I'm
do.
That person. That
yeah, you still look like this. So you were talking about going to see concerts in Baltimore. Is that where you're from? Is that where
I'm
you grew
from
up?
Baltimore, yeah.
I saw you recently. You were posting some videos online. Was that your house where you grew up?
Mm-hmm.
And is that still, do you still own it? Does someone in the family still own it?
My brother and I own the house uptown and the house down in Annapolis.
Does it still look the way it did when you were a kid, or did you refurbish?
It sure does.
It does?
I'm not fooling with it right now. I don't know what we're going to do with the properties, but I'm going there Sunday night. I'm going to be and stay at my house.
You stay at the house.
And sleep in the room that I grew up in.
That's wild.
Yeah, my parents bought that house up in downtown. Well, it's not downtown, but up in the city in 1945. It's a house I grew up in. And the house, when they got married, they bought that house. And then the Shore home, which is down in Annapolis, my father built that home because he was genius at everything he tried to do. And he liked building stuff. So he built that house, built all the furniture in it. And so I love to go to the Shore home as well. Yeah, I get all... I'm very sentimental.
Well, you have a big smile on your face, which tells me that you did have a good relationship with your parents.
Oh, the best.
That's, and you know, some people don't have that, so.
I was super lucky.
I'm so happy.
All their support with everything I've done, very, very, very supportive, and I think I made them proud, and that makes me very happy.
And then when the Go-Go's hit, they must have just been over the moon.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because, you know, here, I was the baby.
Were you the only girl?
Yeah, it was just my brother and myself.
Okay.
And, you know, I was going to be 22, and I took my dad's pickup truck with everything I own in the back, and I'm driving to California, and I know three people in L.A.
Yeah, with their blessing. They were okay with you just 22.
Yeah, but I can imagine what must have been going through their mind. They must have been dying, so fearful of what I could encounter out there, and... You know, you're just a dumb kid. You could fall for a lot of shit. And my mom was like, please don't join a cult. That was her, you know, big, don't join a cult. Oh, my God.
But you did. You joined the cult of the Go-Go's.
I did. Yeah. It was a good one, too.
I'm
Yeah, because 22 is a baby. My kids are 18 and 22, so that's still so young.
Yes, it is. And you know what? But when you're that age, you really, you do believe anything is possible. And I certainly do. And I still believe because...
Except getting these books here, that's impossible.
Yeah, that's because I don't own Hachette. If I did, they'd be here. No, Hachette, I you know, I don't know what their problem is, but that's another story. Yeah,
Motherfuckers.
I'm just really unhappy about that. But you know what? It's I gotta let it go.
I'll stop bringing it up.
Let it go.
All right. So
send a shit letter to them.
I will.
Send them
I can
a box
do that.
Of poop.
You don't even know what I can do. You have no idea the things that I could do.
Do it, Daddy.
For
do
a
it.
Gina Shock. So you know
my three, blessing.
You know three people in LA. So when you get to LA, you go see those three people.
Well, when I got there, it was Valentine's Day, and I pulled into a gas station on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Can I tell you this?
What?
I love that. What? I moved to Los Angeles in 28 years ago, and I left Chicago on Valentine's Day and got here on February 16th.
Ah.
I don't think that's as good as your story, but I thought I'd interrupt you to say it.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the Valentine's Day connection.
Why did we come in February?
I don't.
Probably because it was winter.
And it was, yeah.
Because I came from Chicago,
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't know why. I guess it was when I had saved up all my money and had all my ducks in order. That was time to go. Yeah.
How much money did you have when you moved?
$2,000 I had saved.
I had $1,200. Not enough.
Well, it's never enough. But it did work, you know, for me because I stayed with my friend Steve,
okay.
Who I met when I had gone out there with Edie from John Waters Films. That's another part of it.
Okay.
Who
was that? Say it.
Edie and the Eggs. Yeah.
Okay.
John Waters, if you're familiar, there was a character, a woman named Edith Massey, and she played the egg lady in one of the films.
Okay.
She's in several. She had a thrift store in Fells Point, which was the hip area of Baltimore. And I, when I was 20, moved out of my house and I moved to Fells Point. So I would go in and see her every day. She had a thrift store called Edie's Shopping Bag. And you'd walk in and Edie sat at the cash register to the left and her cat, Lovey, sat in front of her. And then she had a woman that worked for her named Jeannie that was like her slave. She looked like a witch. She had long gray hair with like grotesque makeup, but she never spoke. Jeannie never spoke, but she waited on Edie hand and foot, so whatever. And you'd walk in and she would talk to everyone, and she was such a character, just a wonderful old lady. And one day I walked in and she said she wanted to put a band together, and I said, yes, I'll join that band, and we're going to go to California, and we're going to go to New York, and we're going to play. And I was like, I'll do it, Edie. And so I did, and made friends in San Francisco and L.A. I'd already been to New York quite a bit, so I had some friends up there. And that started my journey once that happened. And I knew that I was going to leave Baltimore.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time because, like, I had made a couple connections that I could rely on if I chose to move to that city. And L.A. was the smartest move.
Yeah.
The cost of living was... I could handle that. And, you know, I had a place to stay with my friend Steve Martin. And so myself and my friend from high school, Babs.
Steve Martin,
no,
the comedian.
No,
okay.
But
I just want to clear it up.
No, but Steve and his brother Doug, Steve and Doug Martin, are identical redheaded twins. And they were in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, okay.
Amy Heckerling's film,
yeah.
Which opens with We Got the Beat. And Steve and Doug are in a part of the movie, and they're in a diner, and they're back and forth arguing about food or something.
Yeah.
And they kind of had a little following, and a cult following, because they're identical.
I mean, and they're redheads, so that's
It was hard to tell them apart, but I knew. Anyway, so Steve, there's a million side stories to everything I tell, and I get off on a tangent, and I got to reel myself.
No, keep going. We want to hear it.
So I stayed with Steve, and he said, Gina...
But not romantically, just friends.
No. I was on a mission. There was no time for anything like that.
All right, cool.
And so he told me about a band called the Go-Go's. He said, Gina, you need to get this band and kick the drummer out and make them famous. And I said, okay,
so hold
Steve.
Hold on. I have to stop. Who's in the Go-Go's at this point?
It's...
Belinda?
Belinda, Jane, Margot, the bass player, mm-hmm. and Charlotte had just joined.
Okay.
And they had a drummer named Elisa.
Okay. So she's the one our targets
yeah.
are set on.
But I, from what the girls told me, like, she wasn't working out. She didn't want to do what the band wanted to do, blah, 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 whatever. I didn't give a shit. I just wanted to get in the band.
Right.
Because I
no
thought they were...
No matter what.
What the thing was is that I was already playing in two bands, but when Steve took me to see them play... They only knew like two or three songs, but they were having a blast on stage.
Right.
And that was something new for me because I was always so serious about what I was doing. And it was like, oh God, there is another side to doing what I do. And that's having some fun when you play. And so I got that from that's what I got from them. What I gave to them, I felt, when I joined the band was cut the bullshit. We're on a mission. I want to make it, so we're going to make it, and we got to rehearse. And that means, like, five nights a week, not once a month. And, I felt like there was a lot of talent in these girls. They just hadn't discovered it in themselves, but I could see it. And I wanted to just push and push and push and see if I could make this idea of what I thought
could
happen to this band, make it a reality. And so
it sounds like your presence, once you joined the band, you helped them to get more focused and
work
harder.
Yeah, the work ethic changed dramatically for the band because everybody got serious. They hopped on board with my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because really, I was there and I was on a mission.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, folks. Pat Francis here from the Rock Solid Podcast. I want to talk to you a little bit about U-Turn Audio. Let me tell you something, I own a couple of these Orbit turntables. Brilliant sound, simple design, pure analog experience. They come in a multitude of colors. They look cool. They sound even better. You got to get one of these. And you know what? If you want to make your listening experience even better, I recommend plugging in a pair of their Ethos powered speakers. Look, the turntable has a built-in preamp. All you do is plug these things in, turn them on, drop the needle, and go. Old school analog power that fits on your bookshelf. Ultra low distortion, amplification meets classic speaker design. We are talking about Ethos, high fidelity stereo speakers that deliver immersive analog sound. The link is in the description, but it's easy, uturnaudio.com.
Now back to the show.
Well, and that's like when you're the drummer, you're like the engine, you're driving the whole thing.
Yeah, you are, and I'm that type of person. I never give up on things. I start them and I finish them, you know. And I just felt like if there was some sort of guidance, and I felt like I could be that person to a degree, you know.
It worked.
It did work. Yeah, and we started rehearsing a lot, and we got better and better, and Charlotte and Jane started writing and writing and writing, and we kept rehearsing and learning new songs, and we were playing the clubs, and they were it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger until, we would sell out every place that we played. Now, they were clubs, but
yeah.
that was big.
Come on. Yeah. A sellout is a sellout.
Yeah, and we became like the house band at the Whiskey and the Roxy. And that was a big deal. You know, the Doors were like the house band there. I mean, there a lot of big, famous people were the house band at the Whiskey and the Roxy.
And then Kathy gets in the band
Kathy got in the band before that. Because Margot, we were going to England, and she couldn't get her visa because she was in trouble with the law. And
okay.
And we
that could be anything.
Yeah, and that's enough said. So I, I, for one, was like, bless you, but I don't have time for this. And everybody was like, by that time, everybody wanted to make it. Everybody was really focused on, let's try to be successful with what we're doing. We certainly are putting enough time and effort into it. And, our following is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So you could see the results of your hard work, you know?
And you don't want one person screw up to fuck it up for rest of you.
We're going to have to get another bass player to go, to go to England. Fuck that. No, whoever we get, they're there. So Kathy came in and that was it. Then it was complete.
Learned the set in like 3 days?
Yeah, she learned it,
Bass wasn't even her instrument.
No, she's a guitar player, but Charlotte dropped off a cassette and Kathy learned all the stuff. Did a binge and learned everything.
And John Belushi was famously at one of those first shows.
Yeah, no, at the first show that Kathy played at the Whiskey, John showed up, and we were all kind of knocked out. He's the sweetest guy. And then, of course, after that, we knew that it wouldn't be long before we got on Saturday Night Live if John had anything to do with it.
Right.
He loved the band. And he wasn't like a lecherous fuck. He was there because he loved our music, and he loved us.
Yeah.
And his wife, Judy, and they were great. And, myself and Kathy became good friends with John and his wife. When we would play, he came out and introduced us when we played the Peppermint Lounge in New York City. And then, of course, then we played down the Blues Bar with him and Dan and whoever was in town. Yeah, it was magic. Mm-hmm.
Your face just lights up telling these stories. I love it.
Well, I just can't believe that this... my life. everybody comes from somewhere. I come from a working class, community, Dundalk in Maryland.
But that's where the work ethic comes from.
Well, you bet. My father worked on the waterfront. My brother worked on the waterfront. My mother's father worked on the waterfront. He either worked on the waterfront, the GM plant, or Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah. Being in a rock band's not easy starting out. That's hard work.
It was really hard work, especially if you're a girl, because nobody wanted to sign you.
Yeah, because they thought it was a novelty.
Yeah, a novelty. I get it.
Yeah.
But I would always say, put your hands over your eyes or close your eyes and shut the fuck up and listen. Just listen. Do you like it? Do you like what you hear? Because that's what it's about. And then with the advent of MTV, that really changed everything. Because then people could actually see the artist that they were falling in love with.
And that's a weird thing, too, though, because then you have to lean into the femininity a little bit for MTV. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a visual medium now.
Yeah, but we were just who we were. We weren't going to, pander to any kind of anything. We wanted to just, what you see is what you get with us. That's sort of in my book, too. I think you can...
When you see bands now like Haim, do you get a kick out of seeing these other female bands that have come since the Go-Go's and make
it? Yeah, of course I do pay attention a little bit. I do give more of attention to any all-female bands just because, for the obvious reason.
Right.
But I don't like a band just because they're all women
girls.
Or something.
Right.
No, my ears... tell me what I like.
I guess the question was more like, do you get a kick out of it because you paved the way for bands like that to be taken seriously?
Yes, I do. I do. I feel like it's something that none of us really thought about because we were just so in the moment, and it's what we did, and we didn't have a choice. It's like what we did, what we loved, the thing we knew best to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought, but and it just so happens that we were women, and it worked out. And people will come up to us, in retrospect, they're coming up to us and say, yeah, you know what? You made me want to play an instrument. You made me put this band together. Then I'm like, oh, my God. We did impact a lot of
sure.
women's lives. And, yeah, I will now take credit for it, and I'm cool with that.
And that's why you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because one of the criteria is influence. Did you have influence
yeah.
on other bands? And
yeah.
you definitely did.
Yeah, that's always the big payoff when you meet somebody and they say, I picked up an instrument because of you, or I put a band together. I learned how to play drums or guitar. Now I know how to write songs now, and I believe that I can do this. And yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time the five of you played together on stage? It's because
it's been a while, because I had a couple operations.
Yeah, so every time it happens, you seem to be not healthy enough to play.
The last two, yeah.
Because I saw the band at the Hollywood Bowl, and I think, was it your drum tech
yeah,
that set in?
Yeah, Chris sat in.
And then the most recent shows in L.A., Clem Burke set in.
Clem sat in, yeah.
And let me ask you this. When someone has to sit in for you, why not get a woman? It's kind of weird to see a guy up there.
Because
why not Debbie? Why Debbie Peterson? She can't come in. Anyway, so why? I just touched you.
I know. I just got lost in that moment. I just did what I thought was smart,
okay.
And whoever knew the material. Chris, in particular, had watched me play a million skillion times.
And he was great.
Chris knew what to do. And Clem was a quick study, came in and just did it. And because, I mean, I was ready to play.
But Clem doesn't play those songs like you play them.
No, I know.
He doesn't. I'm going to be honest with you. It's you are the drummer of the Go-Go's.
I know.
So
but
when...
I had to have an operation on my neck.
I had
to have... four vertebrae fused.
How are you now? How do you feel right now?
My thumb fixed because it was like I couldn't hold a stick.
Okay. Could you play right now?
If the girl showed up. Yeah.
Bring them in. No.
Yeah. No. I mean, I can.
So
I'm actually just now shipped one of my drum kits to Baltimore.
Okay.
So that I can play when I'm there, and I'm setting up a kit in my house in San Francisco so that I can play there, because I've done a couple of shows mm-hmm. and played some songs with bands that I love.
Okay.
And yes, I can do that. And it kind of sucks that the band's not playing right now, but it's okay because I'm doing this.
But will there be more Go-Go shows in the future?
I mean, I hope so, but I don't know.
I don't want you to.
Who do you think? I know what you're going to say.
I know, but I mean, like I just saw Belinda solo in Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
It's got to kind of piss you off that she kind of holds the cards for if the band's going to tour.
That's the lead singer. What are you going to do?
I know, but I mean, all the lead singers...
It's like that in every band.
Sting. All these people can just do what they want.
They can.
And I just feel if she's active, then she should be active with the Go-Go's.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, but she has...
And I don't want to start an argument or anything.
You don't have to start an argument. That has happened a million times.
Right. It's,
you know,
okay.
I mean, yeah. I wish she was playing with us... Because
her band sucked. I'm going to tell you.
They did not.
It was just like, it was Belinda and then a bunch of just dudes that weren't great.
That's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I can't control that.
Right.
I think Belinda is better when she's with the Go-Go's.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, like, that is safe ground for her. And when she fucks up vocally, it's expected and it's cool.
Right. And she, and again...
Or any of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of, that's part of who we were. People make mistakes. I don't, but.
I love the whole band and everything, but I mean, this show that I just saw like a couple months ago, there's no connection with her and these dudes. And when I see you guys, you're laughing and smiling and interplay, bumping into each other. Well, all that stuff. The stuff that comes from being in a band.
History, from history, and because yes. because you're incredibly comfortable with that setting.
Right.
You have been doing it for over 40
right.
years, so it fits like the perfect shoe.
And you're so happy to still be able to do it.
Yeah, and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. but you know what? Regardless, everybody, honestly, I mean, we're all older now, and everybody, it is okay to take a year or two and do whatever you're doing.
Right.
And perhaps by Belinda deciding that she wants to put out a record, you know, that's okay, but, you know, everybody has something to do.
Right.
I'm pushing my book, which I love. I'm going to do some photo exhibitions of my photography from the book mm-hmm. at several galleries, which I'm setting up now. And I'm going to do these Comic-Con things or whatever that
yep.
I'm doing now because I've never done them.
Yep.
And I get to do stuff like this. It's different for me. And right now, you know, it's fun. I don't know how I'll feel in a month or in a year or in an hour. But right now, it's all good. And I mean, this is fun for me. I'm not doing this for money.
No, I feel like you don't do what you don't want to do.
No, I don't.
That's the kind of person I can tell you are.
I'm not about money. I never have been about money. I like being in a band. I like being a part of something bigger than myself. That's how I learn, how I grow. I mean, that's my deal.
Cool. when Kathy's book came out, and you read it, were there things in that book about Kathy that you didn't know?
No, I know everything.
You know everything about everyone.
Everything
All right,
about
cool.
everybody.
So it wasn't like you needed to give her a call and say, honey, I didn't know this happened or anything.
No.
All right,
no.
Cool. I like that.
We all know so much about each other, we could write volumes about, you know.
It's scary.
Well,
you know everyone's secrets.
Yeah, well, we grew up together.
Yeah.
We were like, you know, 21, 22 mm-hmm. years old. And we're in our 60s. We've spent our whole adult lives together. We grew up together. There were marriages, divorces, all kinds of stuff in between, kids, and it happens. Mm-hmm. Life happens. But we just happen to be tethered by this thing called the Go-Go's and together. And so we're, you know, here we are.
Between the Behind the Music that was done years and years ago and the recent documentary, does that cover all we need to know about the Go-Go's?
The document that Allison Elwood did was just incredible. I loved it. We were all so happy with the end result, and we felt safe.
Yeah.
And we allowed ourselves to be vulnerable and just talk and be the goofy girls that we mm-hmm. are. So I'm really happy with that. And that Behind the Music was just so typical and just trashy shit, you know, they focus on. But that's the way that show was. So,
right.
No, there's always more to someone's story, isn't there?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. There's, you know, there's always more.
I hope there's more chapters yet to be written.
I mean, I hope that we play again, but I don't know. I'm only one person, you know, saying what I feel. I just love to play.
Yeah.
I love playing drums. I love writing music. I love singing. I love all this. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm putting my band. I had a when the Go-Go's broke up for the 5 years, 85 to 90, I put together a band, and it was called House of Shock.
I got the album right over there. You're going to sign it for me.
Okay, so we got a deal on Capitol Records. I've decided to put that band back together and do some shows because I was like, oh God, I have so much material now to draw from. I'll do some Go-Go stuff. I'll do some House of Shock. I wrote songs for Selena Gomez and Miley Cyrus.
Right.
I'll do some of them. You walk and talk like you're some new sensation. You move in circles, you don't need an invitation.
you spend your money, you can't get no satisfaction. You play it right so you can get the right reaction.
I'll do some stuff that's in my catalog that people haven't heard. And so what I my intentions are to do... Actually, I'm playing at the Stone Pony in April. So what I'm going to do is like a three-hour event.
And what do you what is it billed as? Gina Shock and Friends? Or what do we got?
I don't know. Is it House of Shock? Gina Shock? I don't know. I've talked about it. But it'll be it'll be me doing this sort of thing, signing books, and then playing like 10 or 12 songs.
Nice.
So that's a cool thing, you know what I mean? That's really cool, a cool event to go to. So I'm going to just start doing that and see where it takes me, because why not?
Yeah, you like know? To play. I mean, it makes you happy.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm setting my drums up, to make sure I can, you know, play 10 songs, make sure my body's ready. But I kind of feel once I start playing it, it all goes away.
The adrenaline kicks in
away.
And you forget.
Afterwards you can collapse, but during it, nah, it's all good.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This House of Shock album is fantastic. And
thank you.
You can find it digitally. It's out there on Amazon and iTunes. It's hard to find, you know, physical stuff like this. But this is really good, and you sing on this, and your singing voice is great.
Well, it's what it is.
Can you say, now, can you, when you do these shows, how taxing is it to drum and sing at the same time?
I'm not going to be drumming and singing. I'll be up front singing,
and
or I'll be
drumming.
Playing drums. All right. I mean, I have...
Like Phil Collins.
Yeah, well, no, I have you know, the band that I put together, you know, they can all sing. So, you know, for like We Got the Beat, I'm going to sit behind the kit and I'll let maybe John Allen, maybe he'll sing. Or maybe Asher will sing We Got the Beat, you know. And then for some other songs, I'll be up front singing and John will be playing drums. Everybody that I've put in the band are all multi-talented. They can all, they're multi-instrumentalists. They can do everything. They're hotshot players and they're all cool.
All right.
And they're all from, well, they're... three of them from Baltimore and one girl's from Jersey.
So
and they're good.
Do you think you'll bring this, do you think you'll do an LA show or a San Francisco show?
I want to see how it goes.
Well, I hope it goes well.
I mean, and it, you know, if it feels good and you know, I just need to see how I feel, you know? I want to make sure I feel good about it, that it is up to the standard that I set for myself and for my brand, for me. That's important.
How does anyone live up to the standard of a Gina Shock?
I don't fucking know, because I am my worst. I am my worst critic. I'm such a perfectionist, and I've worked my entire life to ease off of that mentality because it's going to kill me, you know? I just...
Yeah.
Everything's got to be just... life is not perfect, and I'm getting better at that, but I like to rehearse a lot. I like things to happen without having to think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. You make me laugh. You make me smile. I feel like even when I watched the Go-Go's documentary, like whenever you would come on screen, I never knew what you might say. You seem like...
I don't know what I'm going to say either.
You seem like the wild child of the band to me. I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, I keep everybody laughing, I think, for whatever reason. I think I got that from my father.
That's good. People
just
need that.
You know, funny and didn't even realize what he's saying. My mother would be laughing the whole fucking 72 years they were together. It was nothing but a party. They loved each other so madly and were so happy together and, you know.
That's great. Do you, now, you've never been married?
Mm-mm.
No. Are you in a relationship?
Yes.
All right.
But I'm not getting married.
That's, well, you don't have to.
No, I don't.
Is it, do you feel, are you trying to... Because your parents set such a high standard for relationship.
Yeah, I think that's been a part of my problem. My brother's never been married either.
So you guys are like, we're never going to be able to have what our parents said. It's impossible to achieve.
I think it is impossible because I've never met people so in love that were married. You know, I mean, it was an amazing thing to see. I never saw them fight. They were just always really happy.
That's great.
I know that sounds crazy, but it was like...
No, some people have that.
It was perfect. You know, oh my God. And they were so beautiful in every way.
I don't know. I don't even know how to follow this up. It's going to make me cry.
Yeah, don't, because I'll start.
All right. we had a mic set up today so that we could take questions from the audience.
Okay.
Does anyone have a question for... Oh, here, someone. Hold on. Let me go to... the feisty blonde with the...
Hey.
Yes, miss. Go ahead.
Gina, how's it feel to be you?
Well, that's a good one. Gina Hatton, that was the girl that was dressed just like you and looked very much like you. Gina, how's it feel to be you?
It's okay.
Gina, this book is...
Oh, my book. Man, I love it.
I love it, too. When you were on my podcast last year, this company actually sent me 4 copies to give away. So I'm
this son of a bitch is ought to send me 4 here.
Kind of pissed off. I can't give you this because it's hard to find. You can't find one here. Look at this is you.
Yeah.
Look how look at this band.
The many looks of the Go-Go's. Right?
I know the many because like. I mean, Kathy with blonde
hair.
Blonde
hair, correct.
Jane striking a pose. Yeah. Everyone it's just. Amazing.
Weird.
Is there going to be, could there be a volume 2 of this?
Could easily, yeah, but it wouldn't be with his shit,
nope,
I'll tell you that.
No way. Self-published. People would just go to your website and buy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked into that, and I think that's really a fucking drag. I think it's...
Because this thing is color photos.
It's beautiful. Done well, and it was printed in Italy, not China, right? I was so, wow, the book's printed in Italy. That's fantastic, because the colors will be truer and richer and deeper, and, you know? So that was real. I was very happy about that.
When I first opened the book, this is a picture of Jodie Foster. When I first opened the book, I'm like, is that? No, it's Jodie Foster. I thought it might be you for a second.
You should have read what she said was really funny. Jodie was sort of this, you know, nerd, really a nerd. And when she started hanging out with us, we changed her up a lot. Which she kind of says in the book. It's kind of sweet. It's like she really told what happened, the person she was before she met us and after she met us.
How was the tour with the police, the shows you did with
them?
That
was great.
Were they like brothers to you? They weren't lecherous either?
Well, I wouldn't say they weren't like brothers, no.
Okay. Okay. All right. But that was a good... I mean, you guys are... Everyone was at the height pretty much when you're doing that.
Yeah, it's all been really great. I can't complain about, I mean, the Go-Go's has changed my life. It's given me the life that I have. I'm in, you know, grateful mode all the time, except when I'm not. And it's been great, and it's still going, and that's why I just, you know, I can't, you know, anybody in the band, like Belinda doing what she, I don't know, choices, mystifies me. I don't know.
Yeah, because coming off the induction and the documentary, it feels to me like it should be all go's all the time.
Right? I don't know.
You're riding on that wave of publicity.
I know.
And everything. I mean, to take a step away from that and do something else doesn't make any sense.
But that's sort of the way this band works. How in the God's name we're, you know, have stayed together all these years and that people even care, because there have been so many screwed up decisions. I mean, this band could be destroyed constantly by really bad decisions. You can't control people. What are you going to do, you know?
But as of right now, as we sit here, it's still a band.
I think Belinda said she quit the band in an interview in England, but she said that so many times. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if she's not in a good mood or, I don't know, not thinking.
Have you ever thought that the four of you could go out and play as the Go-Go's with a different singer? It just won't work, or people won't accept it?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, tons of bands do it.
I know. A lot of people do it. It would be kind of weird. Because you know what? I love Belinda. She's a jerk, but I love her. And you know what? Well, I mean, no. She's my family.
Yeah.
Her and I were really good friends.
But you can say that. You can say that about your brother. Yeah. If he's a jerk.
No, my brother, I don't like at all. No. That's a whole nother story.
All right, we were not going
to
talk.
No, but Belinda, I love her, and I want her to be okay with whatever she does. But I wish she would clear her head and come back into the fold here. And I mean, I probably will every time. Like I'm saying, everybody has in this band has quit at one time or another, including myself.
Yeah.
But we always seem to come back together. It's like we can't get away from each other. We're tortured by each other.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
But when you're in the room together, there's love.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It is. It's like we pick up our instruments and start playing. It's like, whoa, we are this sound?
Yeah.
How lucky.
Oh, yeah. And I'm drawing a blank, but the new song that you guys recorded.
Oh, Club Zero.
Club Zero. Fantastic.
That was... I can't believe we even got that done, because everybody was in a different city.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah, but I wish we'd, you know, I'd like to really get in and do, like, everybody seeing each other.
I would love a fifth Go-Go's album, I'll settle for shows.
Me too. I'll settle for shows too. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I got a lot of material.
Well, you might just
I'm going to be putting stuff out.
Too.
Or something. I mean, you know, like I say, for me, probably everybody, it's not about money for me now. It's like about doing what's going to make me happy and, you know, fulfill whatever amount of time I have left.
What do you do here in Pensacon at night after you're done with the festivities?
Oh,
what are you doing?
Festivities. I don't know. Wendell and I, that's my partner, Wendell. You should meet him. He's hilarious. People want to do a fucking sitcom about the two of us together, because we're like cracked.
Is your partner?
Yeah, Wendell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long have you two been together?
I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We had a heavy start, but, you know. I'm so full of drama, you guys.
So he's here with you this week?
Yeah, he's being my manager.
All right.
Like my personal manager.
All right, cool.
You know? And he's helped me put all this stuff together, because I need somebody to kick me in the ass and say, come on, you can do this. Come on, do it. And then when I do it, it's like, well, of course I do this. You know?
And you take full credit.
Yeah, but, you know, then you go home and you're picking up your dog's poo and you're cleaning, you know, doing the dishes and, you know.
Yeah, rock stars do that too.
Yeah, rock stars have to do that. They have to do that as well. And it's good. You know, having too much all the time is not a good idea. I've had that too, and it's not good.
So maybe we'll see you in it's Wendell?
Wendell, yes.
Maybe we'll see you guys out at a restaurant.
We're going to go to some place across the street from where we stay, at the Wyndham.
Is that where you're at?
I don't know.
I'm at the Hampton.
I'm at the Hampton.
Okay.
Is it I don't know. Right. Well, you're on the beach. I guess they're
all
on
the beach.
Yeah,
I'm on the third floor.
Well, there's a place not quite across the street, but kind of catty-cornered. It's supposed to be a good restaurant. I can't think of the name of it, but I want to go there tonight. We were going to go there last night, but we were so tired that we just came home and collapsed.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have some wine? Do you have some wine?
Do I have wine?
Do you have wine? We have wine.
Where?
Anywhere. Anywhere.
No, I ordered wine yesterday. It was so fucking horrible. I took a drink and spit it out. I spat it, and it was not good. So I had a Bloody Mary, and that's probably why I fell asleep when I got home. But, you know, anyway, in closing, which
yeah,
I know is happening.
Yeah, because I want to tell people where they can find you, and then you can do closing remarks.
You know what? I really like doing this. It's fun to talk like this because it makes me smile and brings up really fun things in my brain.
Oh, good, I'm glad.
Everybody needs it. That's why the Go-Go's are fucking important, because it makes everybody smile. And when we play, everybody's dancing and knows every fucking word, and it's goodness everywhere. I love that. And it's what we all need.
Yeah. You can find Gina on Twitter at Real Gina Shock, Instagram at Real Gina Shock, website GinaShock.com. Go buy this book anywhere you can find
Jesus,
it.
Oh, Jesus, you bet. And write a nasty letter to Hachette.
I will. And you're putting the lipstick on because we're going to get a picture in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. If you weren't
you
missed it, because Gina Shock is the best. Thank you, Gina.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.